Welcome to the weekly podcast of Capital Outlook from Wyoming PBS. Capital Outlook is a weekly show broadcast whenever the Wyoming legislature is in session from Cheyenne. To learn more, visit us at wyomingpbs.org. In light of recent events, Wyoming PBS brings you the most up-to-date information about coronavirus and its impacts in Wyoming. We'll visit with Governor Mark Gordon and State Auditor Christy Racines. What's happening now? What are the facts? What about those who have been asked to set aside their economic livelihoods in order to preserve public health? What's the state's role to support? A special Capital Outlook starts now.
This program is supported in part by a grant from the BNSF Railway Foundation, dedicated to improving the general welfare and quality of life in communities throughout the BNSF Railway Service Area. Proud to support Wyoming PBS.
By a grant from AARP, serving the needs and providing real possibilities for the over 50 population in Wyoming. AARP Wyoming. Proud to support Wyoming PBS.
And by Wyoming Humanities, celebrating our heritage, strengthening our democracy, and growing Wyoming's creative and cultural economy for over 50 years. Visit thinkwy.org.
As we begin this special Capital Outlook, it's our privilege to be joined by the governor of the state of Wyoming, Governor Mark Gordon. Governor, welcome. And I'm sorry that we're visiting under these circumstances.
Well, I am too, but it's nice that you're here, and thank you for spreading the word through Wyoming.
Governor, as we begin our discussion today on the impacts of the coronavirus in Wyoming, you know as well as everyone that there are people in their homes, in their apartments, maybe isolated a lot more than normal, and they're looking for hope. What are you thinking today relative to the coronavirus and how it's impacting people in the state?
Well, Craig, I would say this is an extraordinary time in our history, and it's interesting to be in this room where so much of Wyoming's history has really taken place. You know, I have to say that both Jenny and I are incredibly concerned about people that are at home alone, particularly senior citizens. It's such a vulnerable time. Just got off a television chat with a number of young individuals who were saying, how can we be helpful? And that's what we do in Wyoming. When you have kids that are saying, how can we be helpful? And you say, maybe you could call. Maybe you could call a senior citizen. Maybe, and as Jenny has talked about, maybe you can help deliver groceries to their doorstep at this incredible time. So I think this is, and I think we'll probably have the chance to talk about this, but it is a very difficult time for people in Wyoming. But this is also a time when our true character begins to show through.
It is a very tough time, Governor, but I think as you have alluded to in the last few days, this isn't the worst, and likely the worst is in front of us still. What's the data showing you?
Well, I think the data shows that we're a little bit behind the rest of the country. You know, Louisiana blew up, New York's blown up, Washington's blown up, Colorado has blown up, and we're a little bit behind the curve. What other governors have told me is that there is this kind of pace. You start to see one case here, one case there, and then it starts to ramp up. And that's what we've seen over the last couple of days. We anticipate that will continue over the next 3 weeks at least. We hope that the measures we've taken to have people stay at home, to do the best we can, to do social distancing, all the things that you hear about, that has put us enough ahead of this curve coming that we can flatten it. And provide, really the big issue is, do we have the medical capacity to take care of people? And not just coronavirus people, but people who might have a heart attack or a stroke or a broken leg. We want to make sure we still have that capacity.
And as we sit here today, do we?
I think we have a very good chance if we can stay tuned, you know, make sure that we stay at home as much as we can, observe the social distancing, make sure that we are doing the hygiene that's so critical. We have a chance.
Governor, you said you're doing your very best not to shut down Wyoming. Mm-hmm. But you've also asked many to set aside their economic livelihoods in the interest of public health. That's a tough, tough balance for many. How do you go about that decision-making process?
Well, I think Representative Cheney said it so well day before yesterday, I think, when she said, if we have a health crisis on the scale of what we expect, there won't be any economy anyway. So we've really tried to balance how to keep businesses functioning. You see that coming from Congress saying, let's keep the small businesses, the package we hope arrives soon. We'll say, if you can keep your business open and keep your employees employed for the next few days, next couple of weeks, that you'll get a loan that can be forgiven. I know this. I had a personal experience there. My world was turned upside down in one day. I had two small kids. I was a single parent suddenly, and I know what that means. We've heard the calls. I hear them daily. I see the emails. This is not an easy thing to do, and we're trying to do everything we can within our state's capacity to meet the needs of those people.
We're going to speak in just a moment with the state auditor, who is going to have a lot of information about how Wyoming can assist those who may be in small businesses and other things. But Governor, I wanted to ask you, what is your interaction with local governments? And might it be the case where orders that you have given statewide are perhaps become more severe in a localized community or a county?
Well, it's interesting. I think, Craig, the approach we've taken is, I'm blessed to have Dr. Allie Harris as our state epidemiologist. If it's absolutely necessary on a statewide level, that's when we will issue an order. If a county comes with their own plan, if it is prudent, if it makes sense to Allie Harris, the doctor, then we can support that. And if you look at Wyoming today, we have many more counties than we did when we started a week ago. But Teton has, and Laramie County both have pretty strong protocols in place. They're actually wanting to advance a little ahead of where some of the rest of the state is. Places like Niobrara and Crook County and Bighorn County so far don't have any cases. And there, you're trying to balance what makes sense. So we've really tried to allow these businesses to stay open as best they can. Obviously, there are those businesses like grocery stores that we all count on, that we want to keep going. But we've only tried to take the statewide measures that are absolutely essential and left it to the county health officers when their county governments and when they see the need to raise that level that they can.
States surrounding Wyoming have taken a different approach. Idaho and Colorado specifically have taken more stringent measures than you have. Has that caused you trouble in how you message here in Wyoming? We hear anecdotal stories around Wyoming that people still today, Governor, are not taking this seriously, that they are in parks with family and friends, that they go to barbecues, that they're not maintaining social distance. Does this even messaging from Washington sometimes can be different than what you're saying?
Well, and Craig, I'd say it this way. I grew up in this state. The people I grew up with had common sense. They understood that what we're suggesting, stay at home, meant stay at home for good reason and for good, sensible reason. We didn't feel like people in Wyoming needed an order to heed that kind of a recommendation. As I look at what Idaho's done, they really jumped from really fewer orders than we had, fewer sanctions, to this stay-at-home order that they put in play. But when I hear about this, you know, my sense is that Wyoming people are smart. They understand that they live in a community, and I often use this analogy about we're an egg, and we know if we have a sick calf, you're not gonna put that into a healthy herd. It's going to ruin that whole herd. And so we've been kind of counting on people to have the common sense that every Wyoming person has. We're gonna stick to our course as it makes sense. I'm going not by public opinion, but what Dr. Harris and I work out as to what is the appropriate level. And I think people will begin to understand as we see these cases expand and explode that, you know, maybe we don't go congregate in the park. That's really it.
People, our parents, are wondering, am I really now supposed to educate my children for the rest of the year or not? And I know that you haven't made any decisions on whether schools may reopen. Joking with my children, I would have been an awful homeschool teacher, and I am blessed that they didn't have to go through what so many Wyoming parents are now going through, maybe even still trying to maintain jobs and children are at home, yet still trying to teach. Governor, do we know generally when you might decide or when you and the State Department of Education may decide together whether states will reopen, our schools, excuse me, will reopen?
Yeah, I think in that case, Craig, the superintendent's been very engaged with districts around the state. As you know, there's a wide variety of both, telephonic, the technical, and
the infrastructure to support.
Support all that. So she's trying to come to a good understanding of that. We'll have a decision in the next few days about how we navigate that. I just got off, as I said, I had a great Google chat with a number of students from around high school and college students from around the state. Of course, that's a little different from preschool kids and so on. But what an opportunity to begin to take your own education a little bit under wing, to be self-motivated, and really there was a lot of excitement around how do we do that. We need to have that structure so that these students don't lose a year, don't lose a term, and we're working very hard to get those things
in
place.
Goes to broadband access to technology and computers,
right,
and all of those things.
Right, right.
Governor, we're hearing anecdotal stories, and I'm sure you've heard them too, about two or three different things. Price gouging.
Mm-hmm.
How about rent suspensions and a break on my utilities? Can I have my mortgage forgiven for a few months? What power do you have to assist those Wyomingites who now are, through no fault of their own, are out of work and out of money?
I've talked to the Attorney General a little bit about what those capacities are. It's interesting, in the health arena, things like those orders, those go back to smallpox times. Those are very old statutes in the Wyoming Code of Law. Not quite the same when it comes to some of these other measures that I might be able to use. But we've been in, and you'll hear from the auditor, you know, I've been in a long conversation with banks about how do we take holidays on this? I worked right off the bat to go to Freddie and Fannie and say, you know, how can we make sure that we don't have to get those mortgage payments done on time until we see the economy come back a little more robustly? As I say, it's sort of sad to me to have the people call and say, I'm being evicted. So we're reaching out to say compassionately, look, please, everybody's in a difficult time right now. And if you're gonna evict people, you're just gonna compound the problem. We think help is on the way from the federal government on those matters. And I don't want to have to, you know, try to step up an executive authority over the top of that. People should have good sense.
Briefly, Governor, we have just a minute or two left. Testing. Are you confident now, as each day goes by, that testing is going to become available statewide where it's needed and perhaps sooner in the chain of somebody being very, very sick, only being able to get a test?
Yeah, we'd like to get out ahead of it. I'd love to say that we're confident that's going to happen in the near term. I will say that our lab is doubling its capacity. We were able to deliver a lot of the vials and the media that the swabs come back in. There's obviously Abbott Labs and Roche Equipment and Cepheid are coming online with new products. All of this is kind of doing what American enterprise does, reaching the need. But it is a bootstrap enterprise, so it's going to be a while before we have all the tests that we want to have, but we're hoping we get there quickly.
Lastly, Governor, governors around the country mm-hmm. are making very serious decisions about state spending and state hiring. We hear of freezes. We hear of cuts, immediate cuts in budgets and those types of things. How are you reflecting on the state of Wyoming's as the chief executive with those matters today?
We know that our revenue streams have been hit dramatically. We have been talking about, and this was something I was passing out to agencies beforehand, we're going to have to make programmatic cuts. Where are those programmatic cuts going to come from? What are the consequences of those going to be? I've been in regular contact with our legislature. It's early days still, Craig. We're going to have the consensus revenue estimating group prediction out in the next week or so. I'm sure it's going to be horrible. But there's so much volatility in the market. There's so much uncertainty in what's going to happen with this federal package, how it gets deployed. It doesn't make sense for us to make dramatic changes at this point. We're okay. But we'll have to be thinking about those in May and June and July. And hopefully that'll inform the elections. We need people that are really ready to roll their sleeves up and get to work then.
Well, Governor, best wishes to you and your staff. I know that you've been shouldering a lot of burden that you probably didn't anticipate 2 or 3 months ago. And just we wish you the best.
Well, thank you, Craig. Thanks for doing this. This is important. People in Wyoming deserve to know.
I appreciate that. On to the state auditor and her role now as a leader of a task force that's working to assist Wyomingites relative to the coronavirus. That's next. And we continue on this special capital outlook. And again, we're privileged to be joined by the auditor of the state of Wyoming, Christy Racines. Madam Auditor, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Craig.
You're sure welcome. A lot to get to with you. You've been asked to lead a task force. As I understand it, you're asked to address the widespread economic effects of the virus for both businesses and employees. Is that accurate?
Yes, absolutely. I think the number one concern from a triage standpoint for all of us is health. But really not far behind that is our businesses and our workers and our economy, both right now, today, and going down the road.
There's so much that's unknown about what federal support will be available to you, but what have you been thinking of? What topics, as you say, have kind of risen to the top of your list?
So right now, there's certainly a lot of long-term questions that are very important, but we're not focusing on quite yet because, like you said, there's just so much unknown as to what sort of aid is going to come in from the federal government, how long this will last, how it will end up affecting Wyoming. We're hearing a lot, sort of what you expect, you know, folks, businesses that are unable to pay their employees, they may be struggling to pay their rent, they're just not sure if they're going to be able to weather this storm, and they're very, very worried about their workers. I think that's paramount, is they know our small businesses are the lifeblood of Wyoming, and they know their Main Street, they know their communities, and they know their employees. And so a small business will know which employees can make it maybe 2 weeks without a paycheck, which can go a month, and which might be in trouble today.
And there are plenty who are in trouble today, both from being a business owner and being an employee. What advice do you have for them today relative to your task force work?
So the most important thing to know is there are resources available. Now, do those resources fix every problem or cover or mitigate 100% of the issue? Absolutely not, but there absolutely are resources. So from a task force point perspective, one of our biggest goals is to match need up with the resource. And that seems simple, but if you've had all of this hit you really quickly at once, it can certainly be overwhelming, especially for a small business that may not have an attorney on staff and may not have read the, you know, 1,000 pages of bills that the Congress has passed so far. So just letting people know where they can go is really, really important. You know, for employees, there's unemployment. It's making sure we have simplified, digestible information about what to do as regards of unemployment, how to get help, you know, with rent. For businesses, one of the biggest things that has come up is our ability to now apply for Small Business Administration emergency loans. That's a huge piece of the pie to help mitigate these issues. But one of the things that's coming up more than anything is our local banks. And I really want your listeners to know, and businesses and individuals, their first line of defense when they're having financial trouble might be to give their banker a call.
What might they expect to hear? What are bankers telling you that they can do to help?
So they are amazingly prepared for this situation. Our banks are incredibly strong. Every single bank in the state of Wyoming is offering some sort of forbearance to their customers. So essentially a deferment of payments. Now it's going to be different for everyone, but if you were having trouble with your mortgage or a business loan, you know, maybe the federal loan is going to be right for you, but the first thing you should do is call your banker and see how they can help.
And the message is you have to take that step. That
Correct.
Step won't come to you.
Absolutely.
Even though it's hard, make the call.
And they from across the state, they have strong liquidity. They're doing well. They are ready. This is actually their job. They exist to help their customers when they're in need. So they're very prepared for this. Now, I think you and I have both seen some of our banks are shutting down their lobbies, just as we've seen, with restaurants. And just it's important to know they are open. They're working. They're working the drive-through. They're working from home. They're still available to assist their customers.
And they can provide help.
Yes.
Madam Auditor, we chatted with the governor just a moment ago that the worst of this for Wyoming may be weeks or even a month or two away. Do you share that view?
You know, it's hard not to, especially I think there's some value as to not being the first country or state that is going through this. And when we look to other countries and other states, this is not going away in 2 weeks.
A lot of businesses are hoping, boy, I can open my door April 4th or April 5th, or
gosh,
I'm hanging my hat on that. Come on.
I know. And it's so hard. It's so hard. I picture it a little bit kind of like tearing off a Band-Aid. If we do this well now, we've seen that be fruitful in other communities and states, whereas if we sort of make a halfway effort, we're probably going to have halfway results. And again, I would just echo the capacity of our medical systems. I mean, you know, here in Wyoming, we struggle with getting access to proper health care, especially in our more rural areas, on a good day. And so it really, really concerns me how that will look if we don't take this serious now. But that's certainly not to make light. I can't even put into words the struggles I know that local businesses and workers are going through right now.
Madam Auditor, we hear anecdotally, the state has this rainy day fund. It's raining. This state needs to help my small business now.
Right. No, and we've gotten a lot of questions and comments about how can the state help? And that's something we've looked at our within our task force as well. And the hard truth is the state doesn't have a whole lot of financial resources that it can access immediately. We do have the rainy day fund. It's sitting at about $1.6 billion or so. We're not able to access that without legislative approval. There's a lot, there's pretty tight guardrails on the funding that we can use, as there should be. And so we don't have access to that money right now. Additionally, even if we did, there's things in our Constitution and things in our laws that don't allow us to cut a check to
like the federal
a
government
business.
Is planning to do.
Right.
People
right.
think that our state should do that too.
Yes, and it's of course we're looking at, you know, as you as you know, some of our task forces are looking at emergency rules for certain things where we can, I don't want to say bend the rules, but for example, driver's license expirations, the governor has delayed those. There's things we can do like that, but we still can't violate our Constitution or completely forget the laws we have in place as we go about mitigating the situation.
We've been showing our viewers throughout the broadcast tonight websites where people can go, including mm-hmm. the one from your office. But I think the message of today is there have been guidelines set forth, not only from your office, but from the governor, that people need to adhere to.
Right, and it's so important. And I, you know, I myself have fallen into this trap, Craig. I'm young, I'm healthy. I might get COVID and be just fine. You know, I'm probably right. And I think we fall into the trap of thinking that way, but then I have to remember, what about the immunocompromised person in my household? What about my child with asthma? What about my two parents that are in a risk category? And those are just a few that I know. Think about all the people, you know, outside your world that you could be impacting. It's just, it's tough, and I understand that, but it's so, so important that we take this seriously. This is not just a passing cold, and it is important that we do our best to do our part.
Madam Monitor, as time goes on, as you learn information, I'm sure we'll have a chance to visit again to get more information out to our viewers who maybe are really starting to struggle. And I appreciate your taking the time today to join us on this special Capitol Outlook.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
I want to tell our viewers also that we'll continue to provide up-to-date information. We've arranged future programs with other elected officials and also leaders from the legislature. Follow our Facebook pages or Twitter feeds, and we'll do our best to let you know when those are going to air. So we really thank Auditor Resinas and Governor Gordon for their time today. And we want to leave you on a little bit of a positive note from our friends at the University of Wyoming, who produced, well, I'll let you see for yourself. Better days are ahead, folks. Thanks for joining us.
Right now, the world feels like a scary place. But cowboys know that the hard times don't define us. They strengthen us. With the beginning of each day comes new opportunity. Unbendable optimism, unyielding courage, unshakable determination. Cowboys, it is time to show the world what we are made of. In this time of uncertainty, fear, and anxiety, be living proof of what it means to be a cowboy. Help a neighbor. Stay curious. Be brave. Practice optimism. Better days are ahead, folks. Soon, we will celebrate again under Wyoming's blue skies. We will be resilient, face the winds of change boldly. We will cheer loudly for our cowboys and cowgirls as they make their way to victory. We will be back in the classroom, learning and growing together. If there ever was a time to flex the cowboy spirit, the time is now. Because it's not what you are that makes you a cowboy, it's who you are. The world needs more cowboys.
This program is supported in part by a grant from the BNSF Railway Foundation, dedicated to improving the general welfare and quality of life in communities throughout the BNSF Railway service area. Proud to support Wyoming PBS.
By a grant from AARP, serving the needs and providing real possibilities for the over 50 population in Wyoming. AARP Wyoming. Proud to support Wyoming PBS.
And by Wyoming Humanities, celebrating our heritage, strengthening our democracy, and growing Wyoming's creative and cultural economy for over 50 years. Visit thinkwy.org.